John chapter 10. John chapter 10, again, if you have your Bibles and you haven't had a chance to turn there, John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1 all the way through 21. If you're just joining us on this day, we've been working through this wonderful gospel the past several months, and today we land in John chapter 10. Just an amazing passage of scripture. Today's all about the good shepherd, that Jesus is our good shepherd. We are his sheep. We are the sheep of his fold. We are the sheep of his pasture. And next week, I'm really excited about that. It is the passage of scripture that talks about eternal security, about this amazing fact that we cannot lose our salvation. That once we are his, and we cannot lose our salvation. And that is next week. And the week after that is the story about the death of Lazarus, but also the resurrection of Lazarus. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So I'm just so excited about these next few weeks of scripture. But today we're looking at John chapter 10, starting in verse 1 all the way through 21. And by the grace of God, I will be able to get through this today. So in order to best understand what Jesus is saying in John chapter 10, we need to see it in light of what the Old Testament says about shepherds. We see that this phrase shepherd, coming up a lot in John chapter 10. And we need to understand what the Old Testament says about shepherds. So we need to see John chapter 10 in light of that. And at the same time, we need to see John chapter 10 in light of John chapter 9, as John 9 and John chapter 10 are specifically connected. So in the Old Testament, kings and other leaders were often called shepherds. It was their job to lead the people of God. It was their job to provide for and to protect the people of God. It was their job to lead the people of God by following God and by obeying his statutes. They were called to lead and to shepherd the people of God with righteousness. But so often in the Old Testament, this wasn't the case. You see, the leaders that often came into power that had the responsibility to lead and shepherd God's people were often corrupt. They were unspiritual. They were not true followers of God. They often chased after little g gods. They, in a sense, they were bad shepherds. And often in the Old Testament, God's judgment was imposed upon these shepherds. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 25, Zechariah 11, Isaiah 56, and Ezekiel 34 are all examples of the judgment that God brought upon his people because of the corruptness of their leaders, because of the corruptness of the shepherds. And because God's shepherds often chose the ways of the world, God said in Jeremiah 23 and also in Ezekiel chapter 34 that the good shepherd was coming. The good shepherd was coming. And I want to read a few of these passages of scripture. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 and 24. God said, "And I will set up them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." Jeremiah 23, 4, he says, God says, "I will set up shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." And while there were many good shepherds, many good leaders who would come along, many of these good shepherds who loved God, who led and served according to the ways of God, we need to understand that both of these scriptures, Ezekiel 34 and also Jeremiah chapter 23, both of these scriptures are ultimately fulfilled in Christ. They're ultimately fulfilled in Christ, who is the good shepherd, who is the perfect shepherd. And what we see in John chapter 9 and also John chapter 10 is a contrast between good shepherds, or the one good shepherd, and bad shepherds. Between the one good shepherd and bad shepherds. If you remember in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who was blind from birth. And remember the response of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, who were supposed to be God's good shepherds of the day, Okay, so Jesus heals this blind man, and the Pharisees are more concerned that Jesus healed on the Sabbath than the miracle that took place. After the blind man is healed, remember what they did? They go and they interrogate him. The text says that they even reviled him. And finally, these men who were supposed to be the good shepherds of the day, they kicked him out of the temple. This means that they excommunicated him from coming to the place of worship of the day. And this shows us their hearts as far as shepherding goes. You see, these men who were supposed to be the good shepherds of the day, they cared nothing for this man. There was no celebration for him, for his eyes being healed. There was no glory given to God, only criticism of Jesus and an excommunication of the healed man. And here is why. Here is why they led in this way. Because they were spiritually blind. These supposedly good shepherds, they were corrupt. They were unspiritual. They were ungodly. And ultimately, they were not the godly shepherds that God had intended them to be. And this is where Jesus, the good shepherd, comes in. So we see this in relation to John chapter 9. And this is where Jesus, the good shepherd, comes in. Look at verse 1 again with me. So we understand all that has taken place in John chapter 9. And now look at verse 1. We see the contrast. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." And again, in this verse, Jesus sets up the contrast between good shepherds and the contrast between bad shepherds. You see, like a thief or a robber, a bad shepherd has ungodly motives. Like a thief or a robber, a bad shepherd has ill intent. A bad shepherd comes to take advantage of the sheep. And in context, the specific context here, we need to understand that Jesus is referring to the Pharisees. He's also referring to the Sadducees. Again, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were supposed to be the good shepherds of the day. But instead, they are the thieves and they are the robbers that Jesus is specifically talking about here in this passage of Scripture. You see, these men, they had no intention of helping the people of God. They had no intention of leading the people of God, of guarding the people of God, or nurturing or guiding the people of God like they were called to be as the spiritual leaders of the day. Instead, they entered into the sheep pen with strictly selfish motives. And their motives were to take advantage of God's sheep. You see, they were false shepherds. They were false shepherds. But Jesus, in contrast, as he is setting up this contrast here, they were the false shepherds with ill intent. Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the true shepherd. So see the contrast. Look at verse 2. It says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And here in this verse, verse 2, Jesus is referring to himself. Verse 1 is referring to the bad shepherds, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in verse 2, Jesus is referring to himself. You see, Jesus does not have bad intentions. This is why he's able to come through the door of the sheepfold. His intentions are to love his sheep, to nurture his sheep, to care for his sheep, and to guide his sheep, not to take advantage of his sheep. Look at verse 3. Jesus says, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." During this time period, it was common to have communal sheep pens with a hired under-shepherd who watched all of the sheep. And when the owner of the sheep or owner of sheep would come to the communal sheep pen to get his sheep, he would call all of his sheep specifically by name and his sheep would come to them. They would come to their shepherd. And it begs this question, why would the sheep come to their shepherd? And here is why. Because they knew their shepherd. They trusted their shepherd. They knew that their shepherd had their best interests at heart. They knew the voice of their shepherd. And this is Jesus Christ. You see, his sheep follow him because he is the good shepherd. His sheep know, or he knows his sheep by name. His sheep are his and no one else's. And his sheep listen to the sound of his voice, and they follow him. Look at verses 4 and 5. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So there are a few different ways of moving sheep from one place to another. The shepherd either drives the sheep from behind, sometimes with a sheep dog, which is the most common way, but in Eastern cultures, shepherds do not drive their sheep from behind. Instead, they go before their sheep, leading their sheep with the sound of their voice. And this is how Jesus is saying that he leads his sheep. He leads his sheep, the people of God, by going before them. And his sheep follow him only because they listen to his voice only. You see, Jesus goes before his sheep because he is the true and good shepherd. Next, in the next few passages of script, these next few passages of scripture, we see that Jesus uses two I am statements to make two exclusive salvation statements about himself. Number one, we'll see that he says that I am the door, and he also says that I am the good shepherd. Jesus as the door means that he is the only way to have eternal life, and Jesus as the good shepherd is the means by which he gives eternal life. He lays down his life for his sheep. Let's first and foremost look at Jesus as the door. Jesus as the door. This is verses 6 through 10. Verse 6, it says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And again here, Jesus is referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day, the false religious leaders. And it begs this question, why did Jesus call himself the door to salvation in relation to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And here is the answer. Because for them, the door unto salvation, they believed was themselves. You see, they believed that their salvation and righteousness was based by what they did themselves, by what they did on the outside, by how they looked, by where they went, and what they said. But on the inside, they were spiritually dead. On the inside, they were spiritually dead, and they were lovers of money. This is why Jesus called them thieves and robbers. Jesus speaks about the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. He says, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him, and Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. He also speaks about the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 and 40 through 40. And in his teaching, Jesus said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, who have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And in both of these verses, they speak to the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all about show on the outside. And it also speaks to the fact that these people were lovers of money, that they were the thieves and robbers. And what they did on the outside was not enough to make them right with God. The door that they proposed for salvation was a dead end. And this is why Jesus says in verse 9, look at verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that the only way that one can have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. It's not by outward acts of self-righteousness that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were imposing. It was and is only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to be saved. He is the only way to have your spiritual needs met. He is the only way for one to have eternal security. He is the door. You see, there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. He is the door. And for each person to have salvation, they must enter through this door. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news for us this morning, church family, but in the context of John chapter 10, we need to understand that the thief, all right, is not Satan. And I've used this scripture to refer to Satan. We all probably have. Yes, Satan is the ultimate thief. Satan is the ultimate thief who kills and destroys. But in the specific context of John chapter 9 and John chapter 10, in context, the thieves that Jesus is talking about here are the false religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, they offered a false hope for salvation. They did not care about those who were under their spiritual supervision. They only thought of themselves. They were thieves and robbers. They were lovers of money. They took from others. In a sense, they destroyed and killed others because of their own selfish intentions. And Jesus is contrasting them to himself, that only through him can one find life. Only through him can one find life. You see, again, the Pharisees and the false religious leaders of the day, they taught that life or salvation came through outward acts of self-righteousness by giving all of their money to the temple. This is what they told people, and this is how they robbed people. By going to all the right places, by saying all the right things, by doing what people could see on the outside, and by imposing these rules and regulations on people, they were robbing them of true life. And this is why Jesus says to those he is talking to, you want life? You want an abundant life? You want salvation? He's essentially saying, you're not going to find it through what these snakes are offering. You're not going to find it through what the Pharisees are imposing on you. You're only going to find life through me. It's not about what you do on the outside that gains you eternal life. It's about who you trust in. That's what Jesus is saying, is that he is the way. He is the door to have salvation. So we see that Jesus is the door. It's only through him that one can have salvation. It's not based on outward acts of self-righteousness. So we see that Jesus is the door, and he's also the good shepherd. He's the door, and he's also the good shepherd. Look at verses, we're going to work our way from 11 all the way down through verse 18. Jesus, the good shepherd, he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So as Jesus is the door, the way to salvation, this is how he is the door. The good shepherd lays down his life on the cross. That's what he is referring to here. Jesus is referring to his death on the cross. And think about this, church family. Think about this. That if an earthly shepherd were to die while watching over his sheep, this would not be a good thing. I mean, think about it. He couldn't care for his sheep. He couldn't provide for his sheep. He couldn't protect his sheep. But by Jesus dying for his sheep, this is actually how he provides for his sheep. Does that make sense? By Jesus dying for his sheep, this is how he provides for his sheep. This is how he provides eternal life for his sheep. Look at verses 12 and 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And this is the difference. This is the contrast that Jesus is trying to make in this passage of Scripture. This is the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees cared nothing for the sheep. They were not willing to defend. They were not willing to protect. In a sense, they were hirelings. They were in it for themselves. Essentially, you could say it like this. They were there for the paycheck. They were not going to lay down their lives for the sheep. But what Jesus is saying here is that he is not a hireling. He is fully invested into the life of his sheep. He is so invested that he lays down his life for the sheep. He's not going to run. He's not going to flee. He is so invested as a shepherd that he lays down his life for the sheep, for his people. Look at verses 14 through 16. Again, Jesus says, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And the other sheep who are not of this fold, whenever Jesus says this, this is more than likely referring to the Gentiles. In other words, those who were not Jewish. And this includes you and I. You see, church family, Jesus not only died for the salvation of the Jews who would believe in him, this salvation is available for all who would believe in him. That's what Jesus is saying here. This salvation is available not just for the Jewish people whom Jesus came to save. This salvation is available for all who would believe in him, for the Gentiles. And this includes you and I. You see, church family, the sheep pen of Jesus is full of people from every tribe and nation and language and tongue. Aren't you grateful for that? That's what the Bible talks about in Revelation, that before the throne of God, before the Lamb of God, there are people from every nation, every tribe, every language and tongue giving worship to Jesus Christ as he is high and exalted on his throne. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that this salvation, this door, this way to eternal life, it is available for all who would trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Again, the sheep pen of Jesus is full of people from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue. Verses 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You see, Jesus dying as the good shepherd, this was God's plan all along. Jesus willingly went to the cross to die as the good shepherd so that he might become the door to the Father. Verses 19 through 21, as we close out this passage of Scripture, it says this, there was a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who was oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? In verses 19 through 21, this shows us how John chapter 9 and John chapter 10 are specifically connected, as John chapter 9 is where Jesus healed the blind man. So he sets up this contrast. That the bad shepherds were not there to look after their people, but Jesus is the one true good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. So in closing today, what are the points of application? And I just want to give us just a few things to think about today. And the first one is this. Come and follow the good shepherd who laid down his life. Come and follow him. First and foremost, why do you need to follow him? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that we trust in him and we follow him and we submit our lives to him again because of what Jesus is talking about. Because he is the door unto salvation. He is the only way to have your sin forgiven. Therefore, if you've never trusted in him to have your sin forgiven today, submit your life to the Lordship of Christ and trust in him for the forgiveness of sin. But after we do that, we don't stop trusting or following. We continue to follow Jesus. So come and follow the good shepherd. Continue to follow the good shepherd. Maybe you've been following the good shepherd for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, I don't know. But continue to follow the good shepherd. He is going before you. He is leading you. He has your best interests at heart. When you're tempted by the ways of the world to chase after this trinket or to chase after this, remember that the good shepherd, what is best, is before you. Continue to follow the good shepherd. Again, he is the door in which your sins can be forgiven. He is the door to eternal life. He has come to give you an abundant life. Therefore, rest in him today. Rest in his finished work on the cross. Again, the Pharisees, they were imposing these works of self-righteousness in order for people to be made right with God. But then Jesus is saying here, no, just come and follow me. Come and rest in me. Come and trust in me. Therefore, today, rest in his work on the cross. Christian, you don't have to earn the love of God. He loves you with an eternal love based on what Christ has done on the cross. Therefore, today, simply rest in his work on the cross and rest in his provision for salvation. You don't have to earn it. You can't do enough good things to earn it. Therefore, rest in his provision for salvation. The good shepherd gives you salvation freely. Therefore, receive it freely and rest in it today and every single day. He is a good shepherd. And then lastly, after you follow the good shepherd, you trust in him for salvation, and you continue to follow the good shepherd. I think the last point of application for us is very simple. It's worship the good shepherd who laid down his life. Worship him today like we're doing corporately, but worship him every single day as we follow him. Worship the good shepherd. And then lastly, tell others about this good shepherd. As Jesus said here, There's room for so many more a part of this sheep pen. Come and bring others. Come and invite others. It is open to all who would believe in him. Therefore, today, let's follow the good shepherd. Let's worship the good shepherd. And let's continue to tell others about the good shepherd. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And in closing, I want to read just this amazing hymn. It's called The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And let this amazing hymn that was written in the mid-1800s, may it just minister to your hearts today. Hear these words. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me. And on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thy unction grace bestoweth. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. Maybe you're in this place today, and you've never fully submitted your life to the good shepherd. Why do you need to do that? Well, the Bible tells us this. The Bible makes it very clear that we all have sin in our life, and that one sin is enough to separate us from God for all of eternity. But this is where the good shepherd comes in. The Bible says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He came and he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross as the sacrificial lamb of God. And the Bible makes it very clear and says that all who trust in him and his finished work on the cross will have their sin forgiven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve is to be separated from God for all of eternity. But the Bible also says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore today, maybe you've never trusted in Christ for salvation. Today, would you come and submit your life to the Good Shepherd? The sheep pen is open for you. It is open and available for all who would trust in him. If you're in this place and you've never done that, and you feel this leading of the Holy Spirit, maybe prompting your heart to do that today, you can say a prayer like this, and you can mean this from the depths of your heart. You can say something like this to God. Right from where you're seated today, you can say, God, I come before you today, and I give my life to Jesus. I admit that I need Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and I commit my life to Jesus. I trust in Jesus today. Thank you, God, for saving me. And if you said that to God today, listen, you can rest that your sins are forgiven. You can rest that your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, as the Bible says. You can rest that you have the hope of eternal life. You can rest in the goodness of the Good Shepherd. And if you said that to God today, we celebrate with you. The Bible makes it very clear that you're a Christian, you're a believer, and that you have the hope of eternal life. And if you said that to God today, would you let us know somehow, some way, so that we can lead you and guide you and celebrate with you in the coming days? And God, we come before your throne today, resting in the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who goes before us. The Good Shepherd who leads us. The Good Shepherd who knows us each by name. The Good Shepherd who cares for us. And we thank you so much for Jesus as our Good Shepherd. We thank you today that we don't have to earn your love. We thank you today that we don't have to earn your forgiveness, that it's offered through Jesus. We thank you today that we don't have to earn our way into heaven. It is a free gift that is offered through the Good Shepherd. So God, help us today to simply rest in that. That you look upon us today and you see us through the lens. You see us through the eyes of Jesus, your Son, the Good Shepherd. You're not mad at us. You're not angry at us. As a matter of fact, you're overjoyed with us. You love us. You go before us. You lead us. You call us by name because you care about us, your sheep. Maybe you're in this place today and you just need to be reminded of that. Would you just simply rest in that today? That you're his sheep. That he sees you. He sees what you're facing. He sees what you're going through. He sees your need. He sees your hurt. He sees that which is on your heart. He sees your concern. He's the Good Shepherd. Would you trust him with that today? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to die on the cross for you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for being our shepherd. God, give us opportunity this week to tell somebody else about the Good Shepherd. That he's good, that he loves, that he cares. God, give us opportunity to tell somebody else about the love of the Good Shepherd. And right now we give you worship. We love you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.